I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. This is the Mad Money Machine Show 86, and I hope you'll make it to the other side of this song.
Maybe I'm amazed at the stocks you're loving all the time. Maybe I'm afraid if I watch, I'll trust you. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you trade at the wrong time. And I hope
I'm amazed, all right.
Maybe I'm amazed.
I know you're amazed, too.
Maybe I'm amazed.
Oh, thank you very much, Blake Morgan.
Yeah. Maybe I'm amazed. Amazed with you.
I'm amazed at Jimmy. Blake Morgan from the PodSafe Music Network contributed this song to music.podshow.com, and I kind of changed up the lyrics a little bit. Maybe I'm amazed at Jimmy, and I know you're amazed at that song. No, I'm no American Idol. Welcome, everyone, to the Mad Money Machine. Thank you so very much for joining me on this show 86. We've got a lot to get to, and I'm excited to talk about it. And the quote for the day is from Thomas Paine, who said, "We have it in our power to begin the world over again." You know, the Mad Money Machine is not at all a political show. It's not a show about politics. It's a show that we don't get into politics. We try to stay away from politics as much as we can, because I was brought up to know that in polite company, there are two things you don't talk about, and that is religion and politics. And so I will not be talking about politics on the Mad Money Machine, but I will be talking about freedom. Of course, I've talked about financial freedom for a long time, financial freedom for us, the individual. And part of financial freedom, of course, is intertwined with the lack of freedoms that happen in our society, in our culture, and with our government. I've railed on and on about high taxes and income taxes that are crazy. First of all, take way too much of our time to fill out and understand. No one understands the income tax code. It's gotten Byzantine and completely out of control. And that's why whatever political candidate that comes along and says, "I'm scrapping the IRS," well, they've got my attention right from the beginning. Out at my website, you will see that I did make a donation to Ron Paul for President of the United States. It's the first political candidate that I've ever made a donation to in my entire life. And I don't know how I got on this kick, really, about supporting Ron Paul. But the more I hear from him, the more I'm excited about his message. He genuinely wants to reduce drastically the size of the federal government. And man, I'm all for that. My goodness. You know, things like a cancer growing out of control. How are you going to stop it? You have to sometimes treat it with chemotherapy or surgically remove it, I guess. And I think Ron Paul is the surgeon, the doctor that can help in that regard. This November 5th, remember the 5th of November thing, grassroots campaign, not even started by the Ron Paul organization, as far as I can tell, but just spread like wildfire through the internet connections, everybody wanting to make a statement that yes, indeed, we really want to have some drastic change in the way the American government is run. Like I say, I don't want to get into politics on this show, and I know if you're supporting another candidate and you have another favorite candidate, someone that you're passionate about, please don't be offended by me supporting Ron Paul. But I'd like to know, if you are offended by Ron Paul, what is it that you find offensive? I guess people would not want to support him thinking that he cannot win the presidency. They want to back a winner. But is there something in his message that you don't agree with? I'd appreciate it if you would let me know somehow what that is, because at the moment, I can't really find anything to disagree with. So call me at 206-734-4763 or email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. So I hope the Mad Money Machine show doesn't turn into a long political rant for the next year until the next presidential election. I'm trying to not waste my energy on politics. I'm trying to waste my energy on helping you succeed financially. So do me a favor and talk to me.
Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me.
So let's turn our attention now to something a little bit more fun. Let's play around with the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Men Machine Show 86 is Michael Badnarik. Michael J. Badnarik, born August 1st, 1954, is an American software engineer, political figure, and radio talk show host. He was the Libertarian Party nominee for President of the United States in the 2004 elections, and he teaches a class on the Constitution, which I've watched. It's a seven-hour-long class. You can find it on Google Video. In about the sixth hour of his class, he talks about money, and I'm going to try to summarize for you what he says about money. You can actually find it for yourself. I'll have a link to the clip in YouTube that you can watch if you're interested about this. He says, we have the best money that Congress can buy. He wants to talk about legal tender and constitutional money. Gold and silver. Why are gold and silver used as money? Well, gold and silver are used as money around the world, not just the United States. It's because they're valuable. You can make things like silverware. It has intrinsic value. And there's a limited amount of it. It won't inflate. It has to be dug up by hard work. He gives an example. Say I want to buy your apple. I can give you some gold. Well, the disadvantage is gold is heavy and it makes a lot of noise jangling in your pocket. So you can take it to a goldsmith and he could make it into gold coins. He could store those gold coins in a lockbox and then give you a receipt for it. Now, if I want to buy your apple, I take my gold receipt to the goldsmith and get some gold. I give you the gold, you give me the apple. You take the gold to the goldsmith and get a gold receipt. Well, that's too many trips to the goldsmith. Why not I just give you a receipt for my gold that you can keep? So everybody just keeps trading these receipts for gold around instead of the actual gold. The guy holding all the gold, though, says, this is a real bummer. I'm holding thousands and thousands of gold coins, but only about 10% of the people who actually have gold here actually come in and collect them at any one time. Michael says, because he, the goldsmith, is not terribly scrupulous, he can take advantage of this by printing more gold receipts. Now, he can't spend them himself, but he can loan them to you. He says, only 10% of people come in to collect their gold. So he could, in effect, print 10 times as many receipts for gold. He calls this fractional reserve banking. And it's basically a legal way to counterfeit money. Ah, but when the goldsmith loans out gold receipts, you have to pay him back in interest in gold. The goldsmith is going to be making money hand over fist. He says, Michael says it's almost a perfect setup, but the problem is he eventually runs out of people to loan money to. Who else can he find? Ah, the government. They borrow lots of money, especially when someone is about to attack them. And the government's willing to pay a high rate of interest because they want the guns now. And Goldsmith lends to the other government. The only bad news is if the two governments stop fighting. He says, this is what's going on now. It's the Federal Reserve that prints the money. He said, prior to 1913, Congress had to beg to get money. So with the Federal Reserve, Congress just borrows money now from the Federal Reserve. And then they come to us and say, you know what? We have a big deficit. We have a big debt. We need to tax you to cover this debt. Michael Badnarik calls it criminal, calls it treason. He said the American dollar used to say at the top, silver certificate. And you could take that certificate into a bank and they would actually give you silver. But no more. At the top of the American dollar now, if you pull out any American dollar, it says Federal Reserve Note. He says a note is basically like an IOU. This note says, I owe you a dollar. If I buy an apple from you and I give you my IOU, is the transaction complete? No. Someone still owes you a dollar. And he says, even if you have one of these dollar bills in your pocket, you don't own it. It's a non-negotiable instrument. So who owns it? The Federal Reserve. And they have the right to charge you rent on their dollar. And getting back to the Constitution, he says that the 16th Amendment confers no new power of taxation on the government. Income tax is an excise. We're paying rent for using their property. Why do we use Federal Reserve notes? Because there's no other choice. And then he gets into this business about the Liberty Dollar, and you can actually see a Liberty Dollar at the libertydollar.org website. They have one with Ron Paul's picture on it. So I'm interested in learning a little bit more about how our money works. Michael Badnarik and Ron Paul believe that the Federal Reserve is not necessarily the best way for us to control money in the United States. Thanks for the lesson, Michael Badnarik. You're the guru on Mad Men Mission Show 86. So speaking of dollars, what is happening to the dollar? The euro was worth 83 cents about 7 years ago. It's now worth $1.45. So the euro is worth more than the dollar. The British pound is back up over $2, the highest level since the 70s. The Canadian dollar, which used to be worth 65 cents, is worth more than the U.S. dollar for the first time in over 50 years. Oil's over $90 a barrel. Gold down to $260 an ounce not so long ago has hit $800. Have gold, silver, oil, the euro, the pound, the Canadian dollar all suddenly soared in value in just a few years? No, the dollar has plummeted in value, more so recently than any comparable period of U.S. history. It seems like there's a worldwide abandonment of the American dollar. The dollar is plunging because America has been living beyond her means, borrowing $2 billion a day from foreign nations to maintain her standard of living and to sustain the American imperium. We've got to show some spending restraint. I don't know what's going to happen if this trend continues. But international stocks sure were a good investment up to this point, weren't they? Dateline, November 3rd, Boston, Massachusetts. The Boys and Girls Club of Pittsfield, Massachusetts relies in part on financial gifts to keep running. But officials were not sure they wanted to take a donation of poorly performing stock in a small company when it was offered 2 years ago, worrying about the potential liability and risk to the organization. And club officials figured it would not net that much money anyway. Nevertheless, the club decided to accept the gift, which turned out to be the best decision in the 107-year-old organization has ever made. The stock skyrocketed in value last year, and it was sold for $13.9 million in December of 2006. It was basically worthless when we got it, said John Donna, the club's president. I don't think this happens once in a lifetime. I think it happens once in several lifetimes. The club, which serves thousands of youths in Pittsfield, a city of 45,000 in western Massachusetts, announced the windfall this week, saying it wanted to take some time to consult with accountants and lawyers and invest the money in local savings accounts and certificates of deposit. It has created an advisory board to explore how to use the money. So far, it's spent $500,000 on much-needed structural improvements to its building. The club has a $4 million endowment and spends about $2 million on programs each year. The Boys and Girls Club operates a variety of services, including a skating rink and a summer camp. We're going to test the waters a little bit with what we can do in the community, Mr. Donna said. We're hoping this will allow us to become a little bigger, a little better, and service a few more people. Well, my goodness, putting it in a savings account and a certificate of a deposit is not the thing to do. Now, you talked about you have a $4 million endowment, and this 13.9, which I guess is now $13.4 million, needs to be invested in a, yes, an endowment, in a trust fund. And I hope Mark Hebner at Index Funds Advisors gets a hold of you and helps you to understand that you don't want active managers fooling around with this money. You want to invest it in the market and let the free markets work. Put it in a portfolio of index funds. Now, there is a new set of graphics out at IFA's website underneath Step 5, Manager Pickers. And they have looked at this study called The Selection and Termination of Investment Management Firms by Plan Sponsors. Well, basically, this Boys and Girls Club is one of thousands of plan sponsors in the United States that hold money for some sort of endowment or some sort of trust fund. You can think colleges have trust funds. You can think police and fire departments have trust funds. Some companies still have funds for their retirees. But see, the managers of these plans, just like the Boys and Girls Club managers, they need to decide how they're going to invest this big bulk of money. And they may have it invested in a few years with some other investment advisory firm. And they'll find that over the 2 or 3 years that they've been with an investment advisory firm that they don't do so well. So they decide to go find somebody else who'll do better with their money. And what do? They try to find typically the manager who's had the hot hand. They want the manager or the investment advisory firm that has done well in the past 3 years. They've beat their index. They've beat their benchmark in the past 3 years. And that's the first graph, figure 5A at IFA.com. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. You see here a figure called pre and post hiring returns of investment managers. Well, before these managers were hired, their annualized return, they beat their benchmark by 2.91% per year. What happened after this new investment advisory company was hired? Say the Boys and Girls Club went out and found some new active manager. What happened after they hired him? They did not beat the benchmark at all. In fact, in many cases, they lagged the benchmark. Figure 5B shows that they analyzed 8,755 hiring decisions over a 10-year period. And the performance of the investment managers before they were hired had an excess return of 2.91%. After they were hired, was about zero. So you go find the hot manager, after you hire them, nothing. They're not hot anymore. Now, the guy that put this study together gave a talk at some investment conference a year or so ago, and they joked to him that he better buy a remote starter for his car, because the news he's about to spread is going to hurt an awful lot of active managers out there. I'll have a link to these charts from IFA, and I encourage you to just read the whole paper. If you have your investment portfolio managed by an active management company, you need to rethink that. You need to think about putting it into a portfolio of index funds. You need to find an advisor who is strict about what kind of investments they put your money in. These need to be not actively managed at all. The market returns are superior returns. And speaking of IFA, I have something from them that I want to give away to you. Do you have a commute? Do you drive in your car to work? Do you have a few minutes that you can listen to some CDs? They have a 4-CD set now called An Audio Journey to Tradeless Nirvana. On Disc 1 and Disc 2, it's the 12-step program for active investors. This is Mark Hebner telling you about each of the steps in the 12-step program for active investors. These are great things to listen to in your car on the way to and from work. There is an interview with Eugene Fama on Efficient Market Theory on Disc 2. On Disc 3, you have an interview by Dan Solon of Mark Hebner explaining the 12 steps in two parts, and then an interview with Kenneth French of Fama and French. And then on Disc 4, a couple of fun things. You've got my 12-step musical interpretation of all 12 steps with all the music, and you've got Mark Hebner's Speculation Blues. This is going to be a great thing for you to listen to in your car. It'll tell you precisely how you can get to Tradeless Nirvana. And I want to give some of these away. I'd like to give one away within the next couple of weeks. And here's something that I haven't done in the past and as a way to give something away. I noticed a lot of other guys out on iTunes, their podcast, what they like to ask for is for people to write up a nice comment in iTunes about the show. And I've never, well, I've done that a long time ago, but I haven't done that recently. Haven't done it recently. So that's the way I'd like to give away one of these CD sets to you, is if you would write a nice comment out at iTunes and then just email me that you've done that and give me your the iTunes account name that you used so that I can track the iTunes account with the email account. And then I'll pick one of you at randomly and I will mail this to you for free. And once you are done listening to it, I hope you'll give it to a friend who is searching for the right way to invest. Pass the word. If you've already made a comment on iTunes, you can send me an email and say that you've done that along with your account name there too. And I'll enter you to win.
I'm a lonely boy, just a lonely boy. Where's the smile on my face? Life is bad and I can't stand the pace. Watch my world, it's going down. I've had enough now since you're not around. Love has gone away.
That's exactly what I'm going to be if no one makes a comment out of iTunes, is a very lonely boy. I'm going to pull something out of the toolbox this time that's a lot different from all the other tools that I've given you so far on the Mad Money Machine. This time, I'm going to give you the opportunity to have your mutual funds, your mutual fund portfolio, analyzed for its risk versus return plot on the efficient frontier. If you look back through the madmoneymachine.com website, you'll see a graph there about three postings ago called the Lazy Portfolios Performance. And it's got a chart in there of a number of lazy portfolios and their return annualized since 2000 and the risk annualized during that same time frame. Well, here's the offer. You send me your portfolio of up to 11 mutual funds, and I will run this through my spreadsheet to calculate its annualized return and its annualized standard deviation. And it will allow you to locate where on that plot your portfolio would have fallen. Note that there are some limitations. Obviously, the fund that you're sending me, the funds, need to have a long enough history. So, for example, if you were to send me Vanguard's ETF VWO, well, I would substitute for that the VEIEX, their Vanguard mutual fund, which is largely identical, not completely identical. So generally, ETFs don't have a long enough history to be monitored using this spreadsheet. If you can find a replacement for the mutual fund, for example, if it's an S&P 500, then sure, there's plenty of S&P 500 indices. Send me your portfolio up to 11 funds, and I'll calculate their risk and return and send it back to you. Now, you need to send me the ticker symbol and the percentage that you own. I don't need to know exact dollar amounts. In fact, I don't want to know dollar amounts. Please don't send me the amount of your portfolio. Just send me percentages. 10% this, 20% that, 5% this, 8% that. And hopefully it equals 100%. That's the tool for Show 86, the Mad Money Machine Personalized Risk versus Reward Portfolio Calculator. And like all the other tools I've given you so far, except for one, this one is free.
The best things in life are free.
That's what I want.
And now some news from The Onion about the banking industry. The banking industry is being hit hard by the subprime loan collapse. Bank of America laid off 3,000 workers, and Merrill Lynch posted its first quarterly loss in 6 years. What are banks going to do to make up the losses? Number one, increase ATM fees to $601.95. Number two, turn coffee temperature way down. Number three, launch paid subscription websites featuring hilarious and or deadly bank robbery videos. Number four, limiting branch hours from noon until 12:15. Number five, taking anything valuable from safe deposit boxes that appear not to have been opened in a while. Number six, for a fee, will open cash vaults for money bathing purposes. Number seven, charging more for crisp bills. Number eight, so long as CEOs continue to make crap loads of money, not too much. I love getting your call, so let's take this call from Molly.
Hi there. I'm a 25-year-old female investor, and I wanted to see if you could help me decide if it's better. Someone told me that even if I could just buy one share of Berkshire Hathaway, that it was worth it. So I was wondering if once I have that money, if I should do that or if I should put it in, you know, like a mutual fund somewhere. Anyway, my name is Molly. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Bye.
Well, Molly, Berkshire Hathaway has indeed been a good investment over the long, long term. But you know what? Even Berkshire Hathaway has some risk with it. And the biggest risk that people talk about is once CEO Warren Buffett expires from his job, what will happen to the confidence of all the shareholders? I'm going to have a link in the show notes of this show showing, once again, the risk versus return of Berkshire Hathaway versus some other investments that you might want to look at. And what it shows is for the 20 years from 1987 until 2006, the annualized return for Berkshire Hathaway has been about 20% with a risk or standard deviation of about 23%. And that turns out to be almost exactly the same as some of the investments in the DFA emerging market mutual funds. And so by investing in these emerging market funds in the past, you had the same expected risk versus return as Berkshire Hathaway without the risk of a specific company. I wouldn't want you just in emerging market stocks, though. I'd want you to spread your money out across a lot of indexes. So you might want to start with a combination of international emerging market and United States stocks. But the first thing I want you to do, Molly, is go to IFA.com and take the risk capacity survey to make sure it makes sense for you to do that. Thanks for the call, Molly. Anybody else wants to call with their question? 206-734-4763. Thank you for being with me. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes being amazed at Jimmy to make a Mad Money machine. I'll see you next time. Visit our sponsor. Try IFAfilms.com for a new way to learn about investing. There are several of the IFA quick domains like IFA Films, IFA Charts, and IFABigChart.com. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. I want your feedback at 206-734-4763. Feedback at madmoneymachine.com and visit the website madmoneymachine.com and leave a comment for me. But most importantly, go to iTunes and leave a comment out there and I'll enter you to win an audio journey to Tradeless Nirvana.
As I see a black tornado. As I see a black tornado whirling across a field with a smell of smoke lingering in the air. I'm glued to the window of an old squeaky house. Terror gripping my heart. Then it pulls me with all its might, whirling, twisting, hurling.